Time for our weekly Fargo Force Coaches Conversation this week with assistant coach Jackson Keen. Coach, you guys are back in the friendly confines this weekend of Shields Arena, an opportunity to pick up a handful of really big points against the Lincoln Stars. When you're approaching this weekend and knowing just how well Lincoln has been playing as a whole, how important is the home ice advantage this weekend for you guys?
Yeah, it's definitely huge. Every time somebody asks, we always kind of have the same answer, but it's always great to be back playing here. The fans have been awesome this year with the attendance and everything like that. So obviously a huge advantage for us. And you know, when Lincoln's coming in as the top place team, it's, a lot easier to be playing at home than being on the road.
Now, knowing that you guys are 47 games into a 62-game regular season, you're approaching postseason hockey. Each and every night, I have to imagine it feels a little bit more like a playoff hockey night. How have specifically the younger guys been adjusting to the length of this season and the importance of every game being increased night by night?
Yeah, it's definitely tough for those guys, especially, some of the Minnesota guys that have been, only playing maybe 20, 25 games a year. It's definitely hard to maintain that. But I think that's a part of playing in this league is you're developing. And, the biggest thing for the OCHL is developing players to move on. And, I don't think you can really do that without, going through it and playing that 62 game schedule. And so just teaching guys, how to maintain their fitness and being healthy and eating well and all that stuff is a part of the development. And so it's great for these guys to experience it and at the same time go out and perform and be good players at the same time.
Trying to branch off of what you just said there for a moment. I know last time we had talked, and really it felt like ever since Christmas had come and gone into the new year, all of January and most of this month of February, there was illnesses, sicknesses, and things that guys have been trying to get over. It's led to guys being scratched in the lineup, unfortunately. At this point, as we're flipping the page to March, where is the health of the team overall?
Well, you know what, there's still, some guys that are, have some lingering stuff, but I think that's kind of just everywhere right now. I think speaking to some other teams, I think pretty much everybody's going through it. It's tough with this season and everybody's, sick and that stuff, but you're also getting on the bus and things like that. So it's definitely important for the guys to make sure that they're all, trying to do the best they can and being proactive and being healthy and doing all that stuff. But again, it's still some lingering stuff, but like I said, I think it's kind of going through everywhere right now. So hopefully we're kind of on the tail end of it and guys are starting to get back to 100%. So it should be good, moving forward here.
Jackson, Jace here. Obviously, this week, big news, there was a number of trades made before the trade deadline, and not trying to focus on the players that are obviously leaving the team, but my question is on these new players that you bring in, how do you get them acclimated to play the Fargo Force style of hockey? Is there a lot of film study or coaching that has to go on to get them to understand your system, or is hockey universal enough that it takes minimal coaching to really kind of get someone up to speed on what they're supposed to do? It might take them longer to get comfortable out there with their line mates, et cetera. But what's that time period like to get them kind of acclimated to the way Force play hockey?
I think right away, whenever the guys come in, what our usual protocol would be was whenever somebody new comes in, myself or Coach Skinner will, I guess probably depending on forward and D, we'll kind of just go through our systems and our video stuff that we show at the beginning of the year, like in our training camp and that stuff. We have obviously our core videos with defensive zone stuff, offensive zone stuff, and then kind of just an overall video on how we play. So that'll be the first thing once those guys get in here today. going over some video stuff just to make them a little familiar. But for the most part, like we'll go out, and I think the best way to do that and learn, just from my personal experience, is just to go out and play. It's kind of nice that, you know, it's Wednesday, we play Friday, they'll get in for practice today and go through a regular routine and kind of get them up to what we're doing. And then, like I said, I think the best way to go out and learn it is to just go play. It'll be great for them to play in front of our home fans this weekend, to see where we're at. And I think in terms of learning and all that stuff, it's going to take a little while, and like it always does, but sometimes those high IQ players can pick up on it pretty easy. And I think the way that we play, you know, is a we talk about it's a defensive and offensive style. It's not, you know, some teams are, we're all defense, some are all offense. I think we have a pretty good balance of being a defensive team and an offensive team. So for those guys coming in, I think it'll be cool to play in front of their crowd and at the same time, you know, get to play with some new line mates and have a little bit of a new start is, mm-hmm. is good for, you know, a lot of players, especially some young guys who haven't been around for a long time within the league. So it'll be cool to see them get in here.
Speaking of the players, you've got Cameron, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, O'Coin, Matthew Lansing, yep. and Jonah Egerter. What can you tell the fans out there about these three young players that you guys are bringing in?
Yeah, so Matthew Lansing is a younger guy. He was in Waterloo. He was in the Davitilla trade. So he's a really good offensive player. He's committed to Quinnipiac. So we're really excited to have him come in. He's got a bit of that offensive ability that can change games. He's obviously represented his country, the USA, and all those good things. And so for him, I'm really excited to see him come in and, you know, mix in with a couple lines that I think can help him out a lot. And, you know, obviously being a younger guy, a little bit of the fresh legs and all that good stuff. So, again, I'm really excited to see him come in. Cameron O'Coin from Muskegon, again, the younger defenseman. He was a former tender in the USHL. So there's a lot of expectations for him. And you know, again, losing Finn, he's a guy that we think can come in and step in and play some big minutes and also, you know, chip in offensively and defensively as well. And then Jonah Ager is from Omaha. He's a 20-year-old guy, kind of been around for a little bit. And when we were making these moves, I think having a guy that can come in and play a bottom six, but can also mix in the top six, good penalty killer, skates extremely well, plays hard. So for all three of those guys, they all bring something a little different, but all things that we think are really important and can mix into our lineup to, you know, help us compete. And, you know, obviously with the playoffs coming up, I think these are guys that can slot in. And I think Acher, you know, being in Omaha, obviously didn't have a ton of help and, yeah. and all that stuff. And it was still somebody, even when we played against, that was extremely competitive around the puck all game, and somebody that we think can fit into, you know, something that we needed. And as in terms of the guys moving on, I think it's a great opportunity for them to go play. They obviously were wanted, and, you know, where things are at, I think it's good to also, you know, get some guys that are going to help us now, help us compete, and also at the same time looking out for the future. I think would be dumb to think that, you know, in the last few years where we're at in terms of going to the finals and all that stuff, it's just a natural thing that you have mm-hmm. to look out for the organization, not only this year, but next year and the year after that. And so I think overall with the moves, I think we're really happy as a staff with where it went. And obviously just wish those guys that are moving on all the best. Finn and Dav, mm-hmm. obviously were a part of our team last year and part of my first year. So never easy. And you know, it's sometimes tough, but I wish those guys all the best.
Yeah. And when you look at the USHL, it's, in a sense, it's kind of a combination of collegiate and pro hockey in a sense of how you build your rosters, because obviously there's always going to be a lot of turnover. There was a lot of turnover from Fargo's team last year to this season. There's been more turnover. But like you said, this is building for the future as well. And, I mean, I know that James and myself understood what was kind of going on because obviously a guy like Reed, we know what kind of a great kid he is and a great hockey player he is. But obviously he's going to go on to play college hockey next season. I believe Finn is probably going to be doing that as well. So this isn't by any means, you know, trying to tank or anything like that, because obviously you have to use a different method to kind of restock your roster, because this isn't like the NHL where you can get that new young stud in the draft. Not saying you can't do it in the USHL, but by trading players and not going to be coming back next year like they're graduating from college hockey, this is kind of part of the process. And the Fargo Force have been so dominant over the last four seasons, it's maybe a bit out of the ordinary for a lot of Fargo Forest fans. And I mean, this is just a part of junior league hockey, right?
Yeah, it is totally. I guess just from personal experience, my second year in Sioux City, we went to the finals. And when you do that, you do give up a lot of assets when you do try and make some moves. And mm-hmm. I think if you go back to the last couple of years, we haven't had a lot of draft picks mm-hmm. Just because of that landscape. And when you do have competitive teams and all that stuff, that stems from you know, past moves and trades that like Zam Plant, for example, getting him from Chicago gave up a lot mm-hmm. For the organization. And you know, that's kind of a trickle down for years to come. So we want to make sure that we're on top of staying competitive, getting guys that are going to come in here and compete and help us right away. But also making sure that we're looking to stay competitive in the future. And I think sometimes you have to do that, and sometimes it's a tough thing to explain to some people, yeah. But it's part of the game, and sometimes you got
to
do it.
Well, and I like you said, I know the Fargo Force have done that to really add to their roster to make those runs and to the Cup Finals. And I personally believe that the Fargo Force have done an incredible job building their rosters over the years. But you could see when they felt like you guys have had a chance to go out and win a Clark Cup, they've made the move to try and put themselves in the best spot possible to do that. But eventually you're going to have to, like you said, kind of take a step back, restock a little bit, maybe get some of those draft picks back, get some younger talent for guys that'll be leaving anyway. So it's an interesting dynamic in junior league hockey where, like I said, you're kind of combining that you've only got, you know, maybe 4 years or so of eligibility at the junior league level, and then at the same time you're kind of running a team like an NHL franchise with trading draft picks and trying to build through the draft, etc. So it's a really unique kind of animal. And I guess, Jackson, is there, as I've described it, there's no really other leagues other than that junior league level that's kind of like this, because obviously if you have a draft, I mean, you think of professional, but obviously you've only got limited eligibility, which is a lot like college. So, I mean, is there any other league that or type of tier of hockey that's like this other than the junior league level?
Well, there's always the debate with how different junior leagues run. Being a Western Canadian kid, obviously I grew up watching the WHL and my dad played in the league. So I've always understood how those leagues work. And the real difference between the USHL and those CHL leagues are that I'd say just last year, for example, we would have had pretty much that whole team minus a few 20-year-olds returning. Mm-hmm. But with college, obviously those guys, when you have success winning and personal success, guys are going to go on, move on to school. Mm-hmm. I think we had 18 guys turn over from last year towards this year. So it's a little different that way. But again, trying to find that balance of being competitive and still trying to work and help your future is kind of the balance. And I think with those trades we just made, we're going to continue to be competitive and pull into the playoffs and you know, hopefully go for a run. But at the same time, just making sure that we're being due diligent and looking out for our future as well.
Those Canadian junior leagues then, is it – is it a similar setup that after your eligibility in those leagues are up that you move on to collegiate hockey? And I guess to some extent, I know that every year UND always plays against Manitoba in an exhibition game. Are there as many or, you know, maybe more or less collegiate teams up in Canada then? I guess I've never really, you know, kind of poked my head around what's up there in, you know, collegiate hockey at the in Canada.
Yeah, what they have is the U Sports League, or it formerly called the CIS, which is Canadian College. So mm-hmm. University of Manitoba, Alberta, Saskatchewan, et cetera. Those are mainly for guys that are, I guess, the same basically as college, but more Canadian major junior players. With the new changing landscape with NCAA and the CHL, now, this year, for the first year, you're allowed to play in the CHL and continue to play college. So the rules are a little different now compared to what they used to be. But at the same time, a lot of those players in the CHL will stay 19, 20-year-old years. And for our league, I think a lot of guys leave when they're, you know, 19, 20 is when they usually end up going to college or 21. But it's the same rules, considering that you can play from 16 to 20. But then a lot of the times they'll stay a little longer than USHL players do. So it's a little different with the turnover, especially like those first, second round NHL draft picks in the CHL will usually stay for another year or so. So obviously we would have Swanee back and Zan back if it was kind of the same model. But I always love seeing those guys move on, and, yeah, and obviously they're doing great in college. So it's pretty cool to see.
Last thing I have for you today, Coach. I'm curious, whatever you can even disclose on it, but with this weekend is the North Dakota High School Hockey Tournament up in Grand Forks, and then next weekend you have the Boys State Hockey Tournament down in St. Paul. How do you go about, I would imagine, scouting for whether it's undrafted or future draft picks?
Well, overall, what we use, there's obviously a lot of different programs and resources online that we use to see whether or not kids are protected by somebody else or had already been drafted by somebody else. So once you kind of narrow those things down, then there's a different pool of kids. I think for me, going to scout the Minnesota tournament next week will be a great chance for me to see a lot of these kids. It's I know we're in North Dakota and Minnesota's close, but at the same time, it's not always easy for me to get down and see. You know, there if a Friday night game, there's probably 45 games going on a Friday night, and you know, so it's not always easy to see all of them. I'll usually pick maybe one or two if that's what I'm doing for the weekend, and try and see as many as you can. But at the same time, I think having everybody in house at the tournament, especially with games that are competitive, I think sometimes it's tough in the middle of the season to go watch a game, and sometimes the matchups always aren't great, or you know, whatever it is. I think you go through it almost in our league too, in February and January. It's kind of the dog days where sometimes the games aren't as competitive as you'd hope. But I think for me, going down and seeing the Minnesota State tournament will be great to get a real eye on teams and kids. I think it's hard sometimes watching video scouting, and when you get to see them in person, I think is a whole different viewing, in my opinion. So being able to go down there and see, obviously it's a great atmosphere, and sometimes you're sitting in cold ranks that only have maybe 100 people in them, and so sitting at the X and having the sold out crowd and everything will be really cool. And I've actually never been, so it'll be my first time going. I think I'm not sure if Carey's going or not, but he's been going for a long time. So yeah, it'll be really cool to see, you know, some of our players that hopefully will be there, and you know, some guys in the future that hopefully will be a Fargo Force.
Definitely. Well, I tell you, you'll enjoy yourself down there. It's like a national holiday. It doesn't take second fiddle even to the state fair. It is tremendous going down there and watching those games for that entire weekend. So good luck to you on that one. Good luck this weekend as well, Coach. And thanks for a few minutes of your time and getting us updated on everything rolling around in Force Nation.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.